Well, welcome, everybody. I'm Pastor Lacey. Normally, I'm up here leading worship, singing, but this morning, I'm going to be continuing our sermon series called Talking to God. Is anybody getting anything out of this sermon series? Learning something about talking to God? This has been great. Well, I just want to also welcome all of the folks joining us online or listening to the podcast. We're glad that you joined us today. We've been in a sermon series, Talking to God, based on the Lord's Prayer. So I want you to get your Bibles or maybe your tablet or your smartphone and open to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, and we're going to read the Lord's Prayer together. Now, some of you just can quote it from memory. You may have grown up knowing this prayer by its other name called the Our Father. It's the same words. This is a prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, and they ask him, teach us how to pray, and this is what he said. We're going to begin at verse 9 of Matthew chapter 6. I'm reading from the ESV. Jesus said, pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And then I'm going to add this doxology that's in the King James, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And then verses 14 and 15, Jesus said, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So today we're focusing on the fifth of the seven petitions in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And as we get started, I just want to define the four key terms in this little petition. The first one is forgive. Forgive. What is forgive? Forgive means to send out, to let go, to release. That's the literal meaning of the Greek behind this word, to send out, to let go, or to release. The next word is debt. What's a debt? A debt is failing to do something we should. That's when someone lets you down. You expected them to do something, they promised to do something they didn't, or maybe the command, honor your father and your mother, and you didn't do it. That's a debt. You failed to do something you should. The trespass is the opposite. A trespass is doing something we shouldn't. The commandment says, thou shalt not covet, and we covet. So we've done something that we're not supposed to do. A debt is failing to do something we should. And then we use this debt language. Sometimes it shows up. You can see it. You ever hear someone say, oh, she owes me an apology. She owes me an apology. Or I'm going to make him pay. That's debt language. We use trespass language too. Like, he totally crossed the line, or that was just way out of line. They got in my turf. That's a those are trespass words, trespass language. And then finally, the little word as says, forgive us our debts as we also have, as we have. It means in the same way, to the same degree. So when we start praying the Lord's Prayer, we pray and we're doing great, you know, and we get up to this point, and I always just kind of pause before I ask the Lord to forgive me as or in the same way, to the same degree that I forgive those who have offended me. Think about that, because when we pray this prayer, we're about to ask Almighty God to grant to us the same kind or the same degree of forgiveness that we have been giving to others. That's pretty heavy. And if it makes you a little bit nervous, that's a good thing. That's all right. That's a good thing. So I always personally, I kind of start with the last half of this petition and I work through those things first. And then I go back and I ask the Lord to forgive me because I would like to receive free and complete forgiveness. Wouldn't you? We don't want halfway forgiveness. I want it free and I want it complete. So I need to examine my heart and say, have I freely and completely forgiven the people that have offended me? So let's talk about that. Let's talk about forgiveness. How do I forgive? First, I want to talk about what forgiveness is not. First, forgiveness is not just saying, oh, it's okay. It's okay. And just making an excuse for someone. If they hurt you, if you hurt them, it's not okay. Okay? It's not okay. That's not forgiveness either. Forgiveness is not excusing an offender's hurtful behavior or allowing it to continue unaddressed. That's called enabling. Counselors and psychologists, they call that enabling behavior. And letting it go unaddressed is not helpful for that individual. We're just helping them destroy their character. And if it has hurt you, it's just not okay. The second thing forgiveness is not, is it's not sweeping it under the rug. We've done it, swept it under the rug. Some of us have so much junk under the rug, it looks like there's a walrus trying to hide under that thing. There's a pile of stuff under there. We haven't dealt with it. We've just swept it under the rug. We need to get that mess out of there and just deal with it. And some of us, think about this. We get cut off in traffic, or maybe you're at the dinner table and Junior spills his milk and we just go off like a pack of firecrackers. Pop, 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 pop. Or maybe it's the other way. Maybe a spouse or a friend, a roommate, somebody says something to you that's just maybe a little snide comment. And disproportionately, we just emotionally slam the door right in their face and we go off in our little cave and we eat way too much junk food. Oh, come on, you guys know, we would never do that, right? We go to church, we never do that. But you know somebody. I know somebody who does that. Well, this is just a thought. Maybe, just maybe, it's not the guy in traffic, it's not your kid spilling his milk, and it's not the little comment. It could be all that stuff under the rug. That's what's really bothering us. But we just haven't dealt with it. That's who we really want to be upset with. That's who really hurt us. And we're taking it out up here. So the Lord would have us to get the rug off that thing and deal with it. So let's talk about that. How do I do this? Well, it's real simple. I'm going to give you 2 steps to forgive. Is that cool? 2 steps. The first one is we're going to calculate the debt. Now, I know that sounds a little weird. Let me explain. We're going to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to us, do I have some offenses? I want you to show me. Show me, Lord. And as he brings something to your mind, maybe it could have happened 15, 20 years ago. It could have happened yesterday. I want you to grab that thing by the horns and just stare it eyeball to eyeball. Okay? I do. Get a hold of that offense, that hurt, and really grapple with it. Because we need to know what we're forgiving. How can you forgive something you haven't even thought through? You haven't really thought about it. We're trying to ignore it over here. It's not going to go away. It won't go away. So we need to get that thing out and just really stare it down. Think about, estimate this hurt. If someone owes you a debt, you have to have a good idea of an exact number how much they owe you before you can forgive that debt, right? So we're going to calculate this debt. And you just need to be honest. Get real gut honest. He done me dog dirty wrong. Don't make excuses. Oh, well, probably he had an unhappy childhood. Well, okay. He probably did have a dysfunctional childhood. Welcome to the world. Several of us have had dysfunctional childhoods, I'm sure, in this room. Okay. Let me just explain this. An unhappy childhood might explain why someone hurt you, but it does nothing to heal your heart and right the wrong. Only forgiveness does that. Let's look at that together. I want to read that again. An unhappy childhood might explain why someone hurt you, but it does nothing to heal your heart and right the wrong. Only forgiveness does that. So we've got to know what we're dealing with. We've got to grapple with it. We've got to calculate the debt. And then once we have a good idea of, man, they really did hurt me. I'm wounded here. I've looked at this. Then the second step is very simple. It's not deep. It's not theological. We're going to cancel the debt. And I want to encourage you to do it verbally and do it out loud. You just get alone with the Lord. One day I spent so much time doing this. I was standing out in the sun. I literally spent so much time canceling debts. I had a sunburn on my face. So it may take a while. I'm just saying, some of you, there may be lots of stuff there that you need to deal with. But we need to say it out loud. And this is kind of what I say. I'll just let you in on what I kind of say. I say something like this: Lord, because of your mercy, I choose by your grace to forgive. And I just put the person's name right in that blank. For, and then I put the offense in the next blank. This is what they did. I named their name, and this is what they did. I try to name it as specifically as possible. And then I say this: I cancel his debt. He owes me nothing. I release him in Jesus' name. I cancel her debt. She owes me nothing. I release her in Jesus' name. And it's done. It's done. I canceled it. It's done. So it's that simple. First, we're going to calculate that debt. And I think that's where most of us kind of miss part of it, is that we haven't really estimated what really happened. We haven't really thought it through. But then we just need to cancel that thing. And there's a reason why Jesus wants us to forgive this. And he tells a story in Matthew 18 to explain why it's so important that we forgive. He tells a story about a king who had a servant who owed him millions of dollars. Now, several of you have probably heard this parable many times. And this servant begged the king, give me more time, give me more time. I'll pay it. I'll pay everything. Just give me more time. And the king felt compassion toward this guy and said, you know what? I'm just going to forgive you the whole debt. He just wrote the whole thing off. How many of us have some debts? We just wish the credit card company would just say, you know what? You don't owe it. Just, you don't have to pay that. It's canceled. I release you. So you'd think he'd go out after that and have a party. I mean, he just got a debt of millions of dollars forgiven. But he doesn't go out and have a party. He goes out and finds a coworker who owes him some money, a few thousand dollars. And he grabs the guy by the throat, pay me what you owe me. And the guy starts begging him, give me time, give me time. I don't have it right now, but if you give me time, I can pay it off. It's not good enough. And he throws his coworker in jail. And word gets back to the king, who is understandably ticked at this guy. He just forgave this massive debt, and he's not going to, you know, pay it forward, pass it on kind of thing. So the king calls the guy in, says, what's up with you? I just forgave you this enormous debt. Shouldn't you have forgiven your fellow servant of his debt? And so the king takes the guy and he throws him in prison. Now, in prison, someone else calls all the shots about your life, don't they? You don't just get to wear what you want to wear, or eat and sleep and shower and exercise when and how you want to. You do what the warden tells you. Someone else is controlling every part of your life. Well, where did the unforgiving guy end up? In prison. And if I don't forgive, and I hold this offense in my heart, one of these days I'll wake up and realize, you know what? This person that hurt me, that offended me, is now telling me where I can and cannot go to church. Well, I can't go to that church because he goes there. Or I can't go to that Christmas party because I know she'll be there. Or that restaurant. Oh, I can't work out at that gym because that's where he works out. So someone else is dictating to me stuff about my life. And then what about this one? I can't sleep when I want to sleep. Someone else is controlling. I'm laying there awake. I can't believe she said that about my kids. Well, next time I see her, I'm gonna let her have it, you know. And it's this unforgiveness, and we're just eaten up with it. And we become imprisoned to it, and we're the one behind the bars, not them. They're going on their merry way, doing their thing, and we're the one. Well, I'm not gonna play basketball with them. Well, who's missing out? We're the one behind the bars, and here's the worst part of it. Unforgiveness, when I refuse to forgive another person, I cut off forgiveness for them. I cut off that same branch of grace that I'm standing on. I cut that right out from under my own feet. It's the grace that's coming to me from the Lord. I shut it down. And it's like I'm throwing God's gift of grace and forgiveness right back up in his face. unforgiveness. That's why Jesus said, if you don't forgive your trespassers, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you. You've just cut yourself off from that branch of grace. You were standing on it, kind of like Wile E. Coyote, you know, one of those sorts of things. Forgiveness opens the prison door from the inside. Forgiveness opens the prison door from the inside, and it releases you. Alexander Pope, the early 18th century poet, said, you probably have heard this, to err is human, to forgive is divine. Yeah, you've heard that before, and it is, isn't it? When we forgive someone, that is God's grace at work. That didn't come from our selfish hearts. That is a manifestation of the goodness of God. And let me tell you this, God's grace is more than just his kindness in forgiving our sins. We usually think about it that way, don't we? God's grace, and we sing about him forgiving our sins. But there, it's a powerful thing, God's grace. The word grace, the Greek word is charis, and we get the word charismatic or charisma from that Greek word, and it means this, the divine influence on the heart and its reflection in the life. That's what grace means, the divine influence on the heart and its reflection in the life. God can give us the grace, that divine influence on our hearts to do things we're otherwise incapable of doing. Being patient with that extremely annoying person. Our hearts are not capable of that. But God can influence our hearts, and it will be reflected in our life. We can't forgive that person. That offense is too great. But God can influence our heart with his grace. And some of you here, there has to be, in a group this size, I know there's some people out here that have some very deep wounds. I mean, some severe things that were either done to you, someone did a trespass, they did something to you that they should not have done, or maybe it's a debt, something they should have done for you and they completely failed you. They let you down, they broke their word, they broke a promise, they broke your trust, they completely failed, and that's a debt. And maybe you've tried to let go of that. Maybe you've even prayed, you know, God, take this away. I'm trying to forgive them. And then, you know, 2 weeks later, that bitterness and that hurt and that anger is still there. Let me encourage you to begin to ask the Lord. Just make a request. You can ask him every day. Ask him for the grace to let go of that one specific thing. Ask him for the grace, the influence, his divine influence on your heart to enable you to do something you can't do. A few years ago, I had something in my heart. It wasn't an unforgiveness, but it was something that was lodged there, and I just really wanted to let go of it. And I tried, and I tried, and it was like having saran wrap on your hand or something. You know, it was stuck. My hand was open. I'm trying to let go, Lord, and it was just stuck there. That's how I felt. And I was kind of frustrated. I knew I needed to let go, wanted to let go. And I said, God, I do not know how to let go of this thing. And the Spirit of the Lord said, ask for the grace to let go of it. So I began to pray and ask the Lord for special grace to let go of that one thing. And I turned that prayer into this little song. I said, I need grace for letting go. I need grace to leave what I have always known. I'm not strong enough alone to fall into your will and not my own. I need your grace for letting go. I want to encourage you, if that's you, if you've got a weight in your soul, a wound in your soul that runs really deep, and try as you might, you just can't seem to forgive, God's grace can enable you to do something that you are not capable of doing. He can enable you. Ask him for the grace to let go of that. So we've been talking about forgiving people. How do I forgive? I'm going to calculate that debt, and then I'm just going to cancel it. But before we think that, oh, it's all them other people, right? We never do anything wrong. It's all them other people. I could be a perfect Christian if it wasn't for all the other people around me, right? I could be a model saint if it wasn't for all the people around me. So let's revisit the first part of this prayer request that says, forgive us our debts. Uh-oh. You know, you and I might be on somebody's list of people to forgive. We might be part of the pile under somebody else's rug, right? And because we've done it, let's be honest, we've all done things, sometimes intentional. I am going to get in your face. I'm going to tell you what I think. We meant it. That was completely intentional. Or maybe unintentional. We didn't know we did it. We didn't even know it was wrong. But we've done things that have hurt others, wounded them, just really brought a scar into their life of some kind. So we need to look at how do we receive forgiveness? How do I receive forgiveness? First of all, what receiving forgiveness is not. It's not an apology. It's actually much better. Receiving forgiveness is not an apology. It's actually much better. The word apology literally means to give a reason, to give a defense. There's a course you can take in Christian universities called apologetics. And there are the people that learn this skill and present in universities are called apologists. And it has nothing whatsoever to do with telling someone I'm sorry. It is all about giving a reason for the hope that we have. Paul told the church, be ready at any moment to give a reason. The Greek word is apologia, apology, to any man who asks you about the hope that you have in Christ. Why are you so hopeful about Jesus? We need to be ready to give them a reason. That's literally what apology means. It's to give a reason. And sometimes we do that in lieu of asking for forgiveness, don't we? We start explaining to the person that we offended, maybe a spouse or a close friend, well, I'm sorry I blew up at you, but you know, I had a hard day and work was so awful. And then when I came home and this wasn't done and da 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 da, and you said this, then I just lost it. We're giving them a reason. This is why I offended you. And then I'm saying, I'm sorry. This is not going to accomplish release for you or for them. Remember, we're trying to get out of prison here. We need something a little bit more stout than just an apology. So how do I receive forgiveness? It's very simple. We ask for it. So I've got a little acronym for you. Hopefully this will help you. How do we receive forgiveness? I ask for it. A-S-K and then the number 4. First, the letter A. Admit you were wrong. Ow. Oh, don't want to do it. I don't want to admit that. Does anybody like admitting you're wrong? No, of course not. Hurts our pride. We feel like we're losing face. We just don't like it. Especially if I'm the superior here in this situation. I do not like it. Let's just get over it. Let's be grown-ups. Admit you were wrong. So we're going to practice. Now, don't look at your spouse just yet. We're going to do that in a minute, okay? Everybody look up here. Everybody look up here, and I want you to repeat after me. I was wrong. Doesn't that, when's the last time you said that? I mean, let's try it one more time. I think some of us are a little rusty on that one. Let's try it again. Ready? I was wrong. Good, good. Okay, that's the first step. You can't be released from something if you don't admit you did anything wrong. You know? So we're going to plead guilty. I was wrong. Admit you were wrong. S, we're going to state the offense. This is important. We're not just going to give a vague, oh, I'm sorry. I was wrong. You need to let the person that you offended know that you know what you did to hurt them. You care about them enough that you've thought this through. I care about you enough that I've thought about your feelings and I thought about what I did and I thought about how this must hurt you. That shows them that, you know what, I love you, I respect you. So I'm going to state the offense. I lied to you. Let's not try to hide it. Let's own our stuff. This is not the time to dress it up in pink frills and, you know, give it a lollipop. I lied to you. I've manipulated you. I've been selfish. I threw you under the bus to the boss. I blamed you for that. Just get it out there. State it. Don't dress it up. Just this is like bare knuckles kind of getting forgiveness. State the offense. K, keep to the point. Okay, this is not the time to bring up all the stuff that they have done back to you for the past 10 years. Well, you know, but you did, da 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 da. No. This is the time to just keep to this one point. I was wrong, and here's what I did, and that's all we're doing. We're just keeping to this point. And then finally, there are four words. We're going to ask for forgiveness. The four words are, will you forgive me? Let's say that together. Ready? Will you forgive me? Now, why do I have to say it this way? It's not, I hope you can forgive me, or can you find it in your heart, or can we just let bygones be bygones? You know, let's bury the hatchet. No, these four powerful words, will you forgive me? Why do I say it this way? Because you are appealing to their will. This person that you have hurt or offended in some way, whether you meant to do it or not, they have to choose. Right? They have to choose to forgive me. I can't, it's not just a guarantee, it's a freebie. Oh yeah, they owe me. No, they have to choose to do this. So I need to appeal to their will. If this is gonna happen, well, let's pitch them a ball that they can at least hit, right? Will you forgive me? And then I just shut down and wait for them to respond. That's it, don't say another word. I was wrong, this is what I did. Will you forgive me? And then hopefully the words that you will hear in response are, I release you. I forgive you. Okay? So how about we practice? Now this is the time when if your spouse is here, I want you to look them in the eye. Okay, this is a great thing. If there are siblings in the room or parents and kids, yeah, look at somebody. Let's practice this. This is important. Look at someone next to you. And we're going to practice three phrases. We're going to say, I was wrong. Will you forgive me? I release you. Okay, we're warming up, but I think we need a little bit more practice. Let's try it again. Try it again. Okay, here we go. I was wrong. Will you forgive me? I release you. Doesn't that feel great? Does anybody else love that sentence? I release you. It feels like $1 million when someone says that. So give that gift to other people. If they have wronged you, say, I release you. Now, the thing is, we're talking about forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We're talking to the Lord, right? And we've got some offenses that we have made toward God. So let's stop apologizing to God too, okay? Instead of saying, you know, well, Lord, I'm sorry, I did this again, I'll probably do it again tomorrow, but I'm sorry, I can't help myself. That's not what we want. That's not what we want, okay? We want to be forgiven, we want to be released. So let's get it out there. Be honest. Admit we were wrong. God, I am wrong. I am dead wrong. I have been wrong in this behavior. King David is a great example of this in Psalm 51. He sinned with Bathsheba, committed adultery, then killed her husband, committed murder. I mean, he really messed up, but he did not try to sugarcoat what he did. He just, you know, bare knuckle got it out there. This is wrong. I have offended God. This is a slap in God's face. Just being real gut honest and admit it. Own it. Don't blame our spouse or our parents or the neighborhood we grew up in. I was wrong. It's me. It's us. It's our own sinful heart. And we need to own that and be honest before God. And state the offense. Be specific with God. Care enough about the heart of God to let him know that I know what I did to offend you, Lord. I get it. I get it. I understand what I did to offend you. And I care enough about your heart to say, this is what I did. And David does that as well in Psalm 51. This is what I did. And we keep to the point. This is not the time. We don't bargain with God. Well, Lord, if you forgive me for this, then I'll come help out at the men's work day on Saturday. Right. How many of us do that? That is nonsense. Cut that out. That's nonsense. Keep to the point. We're admitting that we're wrong. We're stating the offense. We're not bargaining with God. And here's the other thing. You don't have to prove that you're somehow worthy of forgiveness. None of us are worthy. It's okay. It's okay to be unworthy of forgiveness. God delights in forgiving. That's part of who he is. Just be okay with that. You do not have to prove that, you know, Lord, I tithed last month. You know, so I'm worthy. You don't have to do that. Just keep to the point and then ask him these four words, will you forgive me? And our God is a forgiving God. We have redemption through his blood and the cleansing of sin. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that a great promise? If we confess our sins, and if we, you know, do this, and if we do like 50 good works or whatever, just confess your sins to the Lord. He is faithful and he is just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's one thing that tends to stop us from asking for forgiveness, and that is pride. It's the number one inhibitor to asking for forgiveness of God and of others. Pride is really great at coming up with excuses for not asking for forgiveness. Oh, I'll look weak if I admit I was wrong, or I'll lose face, or she won't respect me, or, you know, I'm the boss, or I'm the parent, or I'm the leader of this ministry. I can't lower myself and, you know, admit I was wrong. Do you hear the language of elevation in there? Like, I'm up here, I can't lower myself. That's pride, and God detests pride. He hates it. The Bible's very clear on that. A lot of times we think that God doesn't hate anything. Oh, yeah, God hates pride. Proverbs says it's an abomination to the Lord. That's a big fancy word that means it just makes him sick. He can't stand it. The Epistle of James says that God resists the proud, but he gives grace. Remember that, what we need? We need that grace for letting go. He gives that to who? The humble. We want God's grace. That's important. And he gives it to the humble. But he resists the proud. If we're full of pride, God is resisting it. That's a weird thing to think about, isn't it? God resisting us. But that's the word of God. He does not like pride at all. And by the way, we don't ask God to humble us. That's our job. Have you ever said, oh, Lord, humble me? Mm-mm. That is our job. That's my job. That's your job. The Bible says in several places, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. You don't wait around for God. Trust me, you do not want God to humble you. He can do it with a lot of class. He can make it public. He can put it all over the newspaper. Like, he's God. You do not want God to answer that prayer, Lord, humble me. Yeah. That's our job. So let's just recap. How do I forgive? I calculate the offense, and then I just cancel the offense. Get rid of it. It's gone. Deal with that stuff. Get it out from under the rug. How do I get forgiveness? I ask. I ask for it. I admit I was wrong. I state the offense. I keep to the point, and I ask these four little words, will you forgive me? As we wrap up here today, I just want to share a story with you by a woman named Corrie Ten Boom. Anyone ever heard of Corrie Ten Boom? She was from Holland and was put into a Nazi concentration camp during World War II. She was not Jewish, but she and her sister had hidden Jews in their home during the Nazi occupation, and they were caught and thrown into a concentration camp. And Corrie Ten Boom's writings are wonderful, and a movie was made based on her life called The Hiding Place. And if you haven't seen that, go look that movie up on Amazon or something, The Hiding Place. It will bless you. She wrote a book called I'm Still Learning to Forgive, and I want to read an excerpt from her book. It was in a church in Munich that I saw him. A balding, heavy-set man in a gray overcoat, a brown felt hat clutched between his hands. People were filing out of the basement room where I had just spoken, moving along the rows of wooden chairs to the door at the rear. It was 1947, and I had come from Holland to a defeated Germany with the message that God forgives. It was the truth they needed most to hear in that bitter, bombed-out land, and I gave them my favorite mental picture. Maybe because the sea is never far from a Hollander's mind, I like to think that that's where our forgiven sins were thrown. When we confess our sins, I said, God casts them into the deepest ocean, gone forever. The solemn faces stared back at me, not quite daring to believe. There were never questions after a talk in Germany in 1947. People stood up in silence. In silence, collected their wraps, and in silence left the room. And that's when I saw him working his way forward against the others. One moment I saw the overcoat and the brown hat. The next, a blue uniform and a visored cap with its skull and crossbones. It came back in a rush, the huge room with its harsh overhead lights, the pathetic pile of dresses and shoes in the center of the floor. The shame of walking naked past this man. I could see my sister's frail form ahead of me, her ribs sharp beneath the parchment skin. Betsy, how thin you were. Betsy and I had been arrested for concealing Jews in our home during the Nazi occupation of Holland. This man had been a guard at Ravensbrück concentration camp where we were sent. And now he was in front of me with his hand thrust out. A fine message, Fräulein. How good it is to know that, as you say, all our sins are at the bottom of the sea. And I, who had spoken so glibly of forgiveness, fumbled in my pocketbook rather than take that hand. He would not remember me, of course. How could he remember one prisoner among those thousands of women? But I remembered him and the leather crop swinging from his belt. I was face to face with one of my captors and my blood seemed to freeze. You mentioned Ravensbrück in your talk, he was saying. I was a guard there. No, he did not remember me. But since that time, he went on, I have become a Christian. I know that God has forgiven me for the cruel things I did there. But I would like to hear it from your lips as well. Fräulein, again the hand came out. Will you forgive me? And I stood there. I, whose sins had again and again to be forgiven, and I could not forgive. Betsy had died in that place. Could he erase her slow, terrible death simply for the asking? It could not have been many seconds that he stood there, hand held out, but to me it seemed like hours as I wrestled with the most difficult thing I had ever had to do. For I had to do it. I knew that. The message that God forgives has a prior condition, that we forgive those who have injured us. If you do not forgive men their trespasses, Jesus said, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. I knew it not only as a commandment of God, but as a daily experience. Since the end of the war, I had had a home in Holland for victims of Nazi brutality. Those who were able to forgive their former enemies were able also to return to the outside world and rebuild their lives, no matter what their physical scars. But those who nursed their bitterness remained invalids. It was as simple and as horrible as that. And still, I stood there with coldness clutching my heart. But forgiveness is not an emotion. I knew that too. Forgiveness is an act of the will, and the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. Help, I prayed silently. I can lift my hand. I can do that much. You supply the feeling. And so woodenly, mechanically, I thrust my hand into the one stretched out to me. And as I did, an incredible thing took place. The current started in my shoulder. It raced down my arm and sprang into our joined hands. And then this healing warmth seemed to flood my whole being, bringing tears to my eyes. "I forgive you, brother," I cried, "with all my heart." For a long moment, we grasped each other's hands, the former guard and the former prisoner. I had never known God's love so intensely as I did then. Let's bow for a word of prayer this morning, shall we? Heavenly Father, we are truly, truly thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us freely from all sin. And we ask you for your help with this whole area of forgiving our debtors, those who have trespassed against us, and those who have broken faith with us, those who have failed us in some way, small or great. We do ask for your grace to enable us to let go of these offenses and to release our offenders, and in so doing, to be released ourselves. And we look to you to supply the feeling. For our part, we're just going to obey and forgive, and we trust you for the outcome. And Father, with our hearts free and with offenses forgiven, we turn to you and ask you for forgiveness, because we've been wrong. We admit it. We've trusted in ourselves more than we've trusted in you. You are the eternal, faithful God. We've put our confidence and our faith in our own intellect and our own ability, which is so limited, instead of trusting in your vast intelligence and your unlimited ability. Lord, how we have offended you by doubting your word and disbelieving you, you who cannot lie, and we doubt you, and we don't believe your word, and we second guess you. Lord, it's an unspeakable offense, and we are wrong, and we admit it freely and openly. And we ask you, Heavenly Father, will you forgive us? Will you forgive us our selfishness and cleanse us with the blood of Jesus Christ? Let your righteousness pour into our being. Make us right with you. We throw ourselves on your generous mercy. We receive your forgiveness. You are faithful and just to cleanse us. Forgive all our sins. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Father, we pray that the forgiveness that you have given us today will not stop with us, but that it will flow out freely from our hearts to all of those who have offended us and who will in the future bring hurt and offense into our lives. We pray that as we forgive others, that we would be a testimony of your grace, that you are a forgiving and merciful and gracious God. You are slow to anger. You are full of unfailing love and mercy. And we pray that it would be to the glory of your kingdom, for Jesus' sake, and in Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's forgiven children said amen.